As we prepare our hearts for our time in God's Word today, let's just take a few moments to pause and quieten our hearts before the Lord, letting go of the things that have hindered us through the week, the sins that have easily entangled us, the things that have really just challenged us from this past week as the world events have taken place. In the Middle East and other places in Afghanistan. Let's just go before the Lord now and seek Him so that we can be ready to hear from His Word today. Let's pray. Lord, as we come together, we do have many things that have been on our hearts this past week. Whether they've been things that we've experienced in our families, whether they have been world events around us like the events that have taken place in Israel and Gaza and Afghanistan. Lord, we don't know how to respond in sometimes when there are world events that are just so tragic, so gut-wrenching in their magnitude. And Lord, we just fall upon You in times like this to help to bring peace to our hearts, to help to bring peace in our world. Lord, where there are nations against nations, or where there are groups that are fighting against their neighbors, Lord, whatever the situations around the world right now, Lord, we do pray for Your peace. Not just a peace of heart and mind, but a tangible peace that only You can bring about. And Lord, we just pray for the troubled spots in the world right now, that Your grace and Your peace and Your wisdom would guide the leaders of nations, would guide the hearts of those who would seek to bring terror to the world, that You would help us as human beings to be able to find places in our hearts to be able to get along with one another and not cause heartache and grief wherever it is. Lord, we are Your people and we come together today just seeking You. Lord, we know that there are things in our own lives that we need to just let go of before You right now. And so, Lord, we take this time of quietness and stillness to prepare our hearts to hear You speak to us today. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the way that You draw near to us in the quiet and in the stillness. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts today for Your Word, Let us pray together. We are praying together now the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're stepping back into our series that we've been working through entitled, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And we've come to a very familiar passage, I think, to most of us today, John 3, verses 1 to 21. And I'm sure you'll notice a key passage in here as we go through today that I'm sure every one of you have memorized, right? You've got it memorized, everyone? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, we won't do a spoiler right now, okay? But we're going to be focusing on this section, which I've entitled Birth Plan. Birth Plan. You know, when parents are planning for the arrival of a child, most parents today will create a birth plan with their midwife or their obstetrician to kind of set everything in motion as to how the birth will go, as much as you can do that, right? And included in their plan will be a number of key things that they want to create. They will discuss the mindset that they want to embrace around the birth, the kind of environment that they want to create for the birth, whether it will be at home or in the hospital or in a birthing center. You know, a lot of planning goes into a birth plan these days to determine the who, the when, the where, the how the birth of their child will be managed. And then, you know, we all know who have been parents, all that can get thrown out by an early birth or a late birth and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as we turn our thoughts today to this passage that from John, the story of Jesus from John, in John 3, 1 to 21, we're going to look today specifically at how Jesus sets out this God's eternal life birth plan with a man named Nicodemus. I love this story of Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. And this is what John says in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, as he introduces this story to us. He says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" In this clandestine meeting that took place under the cover of darkness, Nicodemus sought out Jesus to discover for himself what all the fuss was about that Jesus had stirred up in the region of Capernaum. He had arranged to have this meeting at a time when other Pharisees or religious leaders would not be aware or aware of the meeting, because he was afraid of what his peers would think about his desires to get to know Jesus in this way. After all, as John tells us, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And if he was seen to be in sympathy with Jesus, things would not go very well for him. And therefore, he felt that he had to kind of sneak around at night to make this meeting possible. So as these two men met together, Nicodemus, you know, just notice how Nicodemus is the one that breaks the silence. He was polite, but, you know, in his initial words to Jesus, he was a little bit condescending toward Jesus. He spoke to him not as an equal, but as one who was in charge of the encounter. That's how the Pharisees, you know, rolled in their lives. They kind of took charge because they were the ones that wore the robes. They were the ones that had the place of prominence in the Jewish circles, in the leadership of the people. So he was used to taking charge of the conversation. He did, however, acknowledge Jesus as a rabbi, even though he knew that Jesus had no formal training whatsoever. So in one way, you know, it might have, his words to Jesus was, well, rabbi, you know, yeah, we know that you're not really one, but it's okay. But, you know, this first volley in the conversation was an attempt on his part to set himself as the one who was in charge of this dialogue. He had a little bit of flattery to build up some kind of rapport with Jesus, but, you know, Jesus wasn't really buying it. We can tell from how Jesus responds a little bit later on. But Nicodemus, you know, even in his initial words to Jesus, he says, you know, he says a few things that, you know, he was struggling with. And what the other Pharisees were struggling with. And it's kind of telling. He says, you know, we know that you're a teacher. We know that. We can see that. We know that you have a message. And we know that comes from God. But we're just not sure who you are and why you're here. For no one could do the things that you're doing if God were not with him. So I know that there's something special about you. I know that, you know, you are you're kind of a teacher, but we don't, you know, you don't have any training, but you know what? We just don't, I'm struggling here. You know, whether this was a genuine acknowledgement on his part of how he truly saw Jesus or just his way of breaking the ice with Jesus, I don't really think that Nicodemus was really prepared for what this encounter with Jesus was going to open up for him. Because Jesus, as I said, didn't take the bait. Jesus wasn't flattered by Nicodemus, wasn't put off by his approach. What Jesus did here was he opened up with Nicodemus a very deep, deep discussion about God's incredible eternal life birth plan. You know, Nicodemus wanted to find out all about Jesus, but Jesus wanted him to know something about God's plan. His plan for redemption. The redemption of Israel. And not just Israel, but the redemption of the world. Which brings us to the whole focus of what Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is all about. Jesus' word to Nicodemus is all about the necessity of being born again. And before we proceed any further, you know, it's important for us to note that this is the first time in the gospel
so far. This story, this is the first story in which we're going to get some teaching directly from Jesus. Directly from Jesus. You know, all the other stories John's been telling about Jesus and maybe some of the things that Jesus was doing, like turning the water to wine. And, you know, so things about Jesus. But this is the first story that John actually records the teaching of Jesus directly from Jesus to someone else. And this is the first major building block of teaching through which John wants us to discover another theme in his gospel, the theme of God's eternal life birth plan for us and for all humanity. You know, it's the birth plan that he has already alluded to in John 1, 11 to 13, where he says about Jesus. He says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. See, John's already laid the foundation for that. He's already kind of given us an introduction to God has this amazing birth plan for humanity. And he's setting out the steps are for us to be able to participate in that birth plan. And so John makes this statement early on in his gospel. He doesn't explain it. Doesn't explain the nitty-gritty of God's birth plan, what it means to be born of God. He just makes the bold statement that there was more to becoming a child of God than just meets the eye. God had a plan and that he had set in motion right from the very time that of the fall of humanity, God had set in place a plan of redemption for his people, the people of humanity. And he had set this in motion, and now with the story of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus, John begins to unfold and expand our understanding of this birth plan. The necessity of being born from above. So, if you want to know, if you're here today and you want to know how to become a child of God, then listen. Listen to what Jesus says in response to Nicodemus. In John 3, I've lost it, so you're going to have to cue them for me. John 3:3-8, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In this response to Nicodemus, Jesus encourages him to take note that the truth that he's sharing with him is the essential starting point of faith. Unless you are born from above, you cannot see or understand the dynamic working of God in this world. You cannot see the kingdom of God. He's telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you know, what this indicates is that Jesus knew what was in Nicodemus's heart. He knew the struggle that was there. He knew the resistance that this man had in his heart. As he came to Jesus that evening, Jesus knew the questions that he would ask concerning the establishment of a physical kingdom of God on earth. That was what was first and foremost in the minds of religiously minded Pharisees. They wanted to see the evidence for the establishment of the physical kingdom that God was going to had promised to, you know, to bring about, so that God's people would have that freedom here and now. And he wouldn't acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah until he could see it. See what Jesus was up to. This is what was on his heart. This was where the resistance was to what Jesus was starting to proclaim. You know what this indicates about Nicodemus is that he has the common problem that every single one of us has as human beings. We're all resistance machines. You know that? We all are resistance machines. Just think of how many times a day, you know, things that happen around you that we automatically think about putting up some resistance to. All of us. You know, we are great at resisting things, trying to exert our own way on things, or trying to figure it all out. You know, that old song, I Did It My Way, you know? That's the song of resistance. That's the theme song of resistance. You know, we have our own preconceived expectations of how life should be. And when someone comes along to challenge those ways or those expectations, then we resist. And that's what was happening with Nicodemus. That's what Nicodemus thought the Messiah would deliver. He thought the Messiah was someone who was going to come and change the political spectrum of the Jewish world and right all the wrongs. But that's not what Jesus was declaring. And Nicodemus couldn't get his mind around what Jesus was saying about being born again from above. What does all that really mean? All he could think about was how impossible it was in the physical sense for someone to enter back into their mother's womb to be born all over again. He completely missed the point. And so Jesus clarified what he was saying when he said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. In other words, it's not just about being born into the right family, Jesus was saying, or into the right people group, having the right lineage or connections, or being part of the in-group with God. What it's really all about, Jesus says to Nicodemus, is it's about the Spirit of God blowing into your life and moving you in the direction of the Son of God, moving you from darkness to light, from breakdown or separation from God towards breakthrough, relationship with God. It's about you yielding to the work of the Spirit who is drawing you, wooing you to come closer and embrace the truth about Jesus. You know, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and as Nicodemus was listening to Jesus, he was familiar with the process that Gentiles had to go through in order to become proselytes to Judaism. He was familiar with that process, and you know, they had, for any Jewish proselyte or Gentile proselyte to Judaism, they had to go through a process of being baptized, being cleansed from their old life, and then being, if they were male, being circumcised, brought into the community of God. And so he was aware of that, and that in that process that they had to go through, it was kind of like a rebirth. By submitting to baptism and circumcision, letting go of their old life, they were being made like a child newborn. And that was the terminology that the Pharisees used for people who converted to Judaism. They were like a child newborn when they went through that process. But Jesus was taking things even deeper than that. And Jesus was calling Nicodemus to something that was unfathomable for him. As a teacher of the law, a Pharisee, did he have to be born again by the Spirit of God? That was his question. And this left him speechless. He had no idea. How can this be? Was his response to Jesus. More resistance. And you know, when we come up against this whole thing of, you know, this is the way to come to relationship with God, is being born again of the Spirit of God. You know, at first, that, you know, there's a lot of resistance. And resistance produces more resistance. You know, that's where many people are at today out in our society. You know, when we talk about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, hold on. There's all kinds of ways. There's all kinds of truth. What's your truth? What's my truth? What is the truth? Resistance, resistance, resistance. Do we all have to come to this place of recognizing that it's the Spirit of God leading us to Jesus? And coming to this place of understanding who Jesus is, that's the way that we come into eternal life with God? Is that really what it's all about? Well, this is what Jesus was presenting to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus didn't know what to say. As a Pharisee, he believed that by fulfilling the laws of God and living a good life, a righteous life, that he had a lock on heaven. On top of that, he was of Jewish descent. He was a child of Abraham. Surely that had to mean something to God. Now, according to Jesus, everything was being turned upside down. It wasn't just about being born Jewish and doing all the right things. It was about being born all over again by the working of God's Spirit through the work, putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And he just didn't get it. He didn't get it. So in response to Nicodemus' state of wonderment, Jesus again responds with a very noteworthy declaration of truth. And we see this in John 3:10-15. You know, this is where he calls out Nicodemus for his resistance. And he brings this resistance into light, into the light of his truth. He says, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? For no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Now that's a very powerful declaration. You know, people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Well, you cannot read these words of Jesus without taking note that he calls himself the Son of Man, which was a very prophetic declaration around who he was as the Messiah, the promised one of God, the Son of Man who would come with all authority and power to rule an eternal kingdom. And with these words, Jesus was not letting Nicodemus off the hook. He was challenging him to confront his attitude of superiority, his biases, his closed-mindedness, and to be open to hearing the life-transforming message of the Son of Man, who has come from heaven to inaugurate a whole new way of living in relationship with God. A relationship that is made possible through the work that Jesus would do on the cross of Calvary. You know, Jesus refers here to a story about Moses. About Moses in the wilderness, when all the people of Israel were being bitten by the snakes, and they were, you know, after they had been complaining, and they, you know, God sent a judgment on his people, you know, to get their attention, and Moses comes and Moses puts up a serpent on a stick, a snake on the stick. God told him, put that up, and if people look to that, they would find they would be healed. If they trust in God and they look to that image on the stick, they would be healed. And so we're told in this passage here in John's Gospel that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. You know, Nicodemus could understand this story. This is one part that Nicodemus could understand. He understood the story of Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. He knew it well. He knew that this story of God's work of salvation for his people was helping him to begin to see the picture of what Jesus was saying here. That Jesus was redefining for him where his faith must be focused. It must be focused on God and God's salvation through him. Jesus could see that the light was coming lights were coming on for Nicodemus. So he shared with him one of the most touching, moving, and inspiring declarations that have ever been spoken and written down. And this is the passage of scripture that I talked about earlier. You know, how does a breakthrough come in someone's life to really begin to understand who God is and who Jesus is and what he's done? How does a breakthrough come, you know, for our sin and sinfulness? How do we get transformed from death unto life? Well, this is John's gospel, the gospel of Jesus in a very condensed nutshell. You know what I'm talking about, right? These words from John 3, 16 and 17, they are the essence of God's redemptive plan for us. And I'd like you to say these words with me. You don't need to necessarily read them off the screen, but I know that they're on the screen of your heart right now, because this is what we know to be true about God, right? About Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Wow. You know, these words from John 3:16 and 17, they are powerful. Powerful words. How many of you have taken time to reflect on these words recently? Just, you know, I would really encourage you, you know, in your daily practice, when you to take passages like this and just spend time meditating on these words. Really allowing the Spirit of God to sink into you the truth that's here. You know, this declaration from Jesus is the essence of the gospel, the life-giving good news for all humanity. It is the declaration, the expression of God's eternal life birth plan for you and for me. It speaks of how out of God's great love for us, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus. The Logos, God in the flesh. How God himself was willing to enter into humanity, was willing to take on human form and be willing to lay down his life. He was willing to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary and to die so that he could take away the sins of the world, that he could deal with the sins of the world that had been around for thousands of years of human history. All of the sin, all of the depravity, all of man's inhumanity to man could be dealt with, were being dealt with through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, Jesus, when he's declaring these words to Nicodemus, Nicodemus would, I'm sure, like many of us would be going, wow. He wouldn't really fully comprehend what Jesus was talking about here, because he wouldn't have known the end. Nicodemus wouldn't have known the end from the beginning. But isn't that amazing? How Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, how in this moment he declares for Nicodemus And for all of us, this life-transforming truth about the love of God and the extent to which God would go to redeem fallen humanity, you and me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing declaration. This declaration sets out clearly God's redemptive mission through Jesus, a rescue mission to save the world from the consequences of sin and death. It shows us the way. It shows us the truth. It shows us the source of life for us. The only way that we can move from resistance to redemption. The only way that we can let go of all of the things that hinder us and the sin that so easily entangles us is what? Is to fix our eyes on Jesus and to run with perseverance the race that he's set for us. So having expressed these heavenly things and laid out these heavenly truths for Nicodemus to consider, Jesus confronted him with the what so. The what so. The challenge, and challenges him to consider the options that were before him. He says in John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, he says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict, Jesus says. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done in the sight of God. You know, again, I'm not going to try to explain all of this to you. You take the time to allow these words to penetrate into your heart. Do some dwelling in God's word. You know, following this message today, take this passage, reflect on it. Make it understand what the Spirit of God is saying to you today from this. Because this is very important. This is what Jesus was confronting Nicodemus with. He put this choice clearly before Nicodemus. To believe or not to believe. To be freed from condemnation or to remain in the already state that we're in right now of condemnation. To step out of the darkness of sin and evil habits and actions into the light of God's forgiveness. This is the choices that are set before us as we reflect on this passage. It's very clear to us that as human beings, our response to God's invitation here through Jesus is right there. You either will believe and receive the right to become a child of God, or you will stay in their state of condemnation. You'll stay in that state of darkness until the Spirit of God gives you ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand. It's a call for Nicodemus and for each one of us to drop the resistance to God. He has given us this free gift of salvation in Jesus, and he wants us to receive this blessing. Now, this was the choice that Jesus set before Nicodemus. This is the choice that is set before each one of us today. Live in the state of resistance or yield to the transforming love of Christ, letting go of the resistance so that God's great love and life can break through your life, transforming your very soul. That's what's at the heart of God's birth plan. You know, remember the purpose for which John is writing down all these stories. It is to cause us to come face to face with Jesus. And it's to cause us to make the choice, to make the choice to move towards God in Christ and to be born again. To be born again. In John 20, verse 31, these words are written. John says that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. God's eternal life birth plan. You know, it's not really that complicated. It's actually quite simple. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you will receive the gift of love and life, eternal life that Jesus has promised to give us. It starts when we put our faith in Jesus' name, when we believe in his name by confessing our sins and trusting his work on the cross to redeem us. It's all about yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing you to this new birth in Jesus. So my prayer for you today is this, that if you are here today or watching us online today, and you have not already done so, if you've not already reached out to Jesus and asked Jesus to be your Savior, to recognize him as the only source, this love gift from God for you to redeem you and bring you into his family, if that's where you are today, I would encourage you to come close, to engage with the Spirit of God, and activate the birth plan that Jesus has set out for you. Receive the love of God that is in Jesus. Acknowledge your need for him. And come and receive the gift of God's love and salvation through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of life. And if you are here today and you already know Jesus, and, you know, as you've been listening to this birth plan today, you know, and you recognize that there's still areas of your life where you are resisting the kingdom of God coming in, the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his peace, then just reach out to Jesus today. Open your heart even wider to his love. Allow him, his Spirit, to continue to shape you, mold you, and give you the confidence and the peace in your heart to not only receive this gift for yourself, but then to have the courage to find a maybe not so friendly looking stranger out there, but to share the good news, share this word that we all have memorized, the truth that we've memorized, now internalize and give it out to others so that they too might come to receive this great gift of becoming part of the forever family of God. That's the birth plan. That's God's birth plan. That he would redeem us so that we can become his witnesses, so that others in the world might come to know him. So let's just pray that God would continue to have us dwell in his word today, and that his word would capture us and motivate us in how we live today. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you speak to us, the way that you lead us and you guide us as we study your word together. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing unto you today, and that these words might resonate in people's hearts today, that just as a reminder of your great birth plan for us, your great love shown to us, a love that transforms our very souls. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would be speaking to those who don't know you through this message, that you'd be speaking to those who know you, and that you would be sealing in our hearts the truth that you want us to hold on to and share with others. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all your blessings to us today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.